Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Dave Barba, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Franklin, Tennessee. Today, Dr. Barba will bring part two of a message titled Spiritual Laws of the Harvest. The text is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9.
Good morning. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 in your Bibles. We're going to press on from the point we left off yesterday. Galatians chapter 6, follow along to help us review. Let's look at the text. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7. Be not deceived. Satan wants to deceive us and fool us. He wants us to think that we can sow and not reap. So that's why God says, be not deceived, be warned. God is not mocked. The foundation of these principles flow out of God. Isn't it foolish to think we can actually mock God? So from God's holiness, from God's righteousness, from God's justice, from who God is, even from His long-suffering, we learn these principles. Don't think we can get away with sowing and not reaping. God is not mocked. Then the principles. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, in God's time, and He knows the time, we don't, in due season, we shall reap. Absolutely, we shall reap. And here's a condition, if we faint not. Yesterday, we began to look at the laws of the harvest. Remember, these are laws of sowing and reaping, found from the life and experience of the farmer. He sows and waits, and God works, and He reaps. These apply in our spiritual life. We learned yesterday, principle number one, you reap only what has been sown. That's a blessing. There are things we reap today we did not have to sow, others sowed for us. And we can sit down and make a list with God as our helper and say, Lord, what is it you want me to sow today, this day? What is it you want me to sow in the coming year or reap in the coming year? What is it you want me to reap in my life? You ask yourself that question yourself. What do I want to reap for God? Then you make a list and you say, here's what I must sow in order to reap that goal. God's given us that privilege. You reap only what has been sown. Then we started the second principle yesterday. And that is, we reap in same kind as we sow. That's found in verse 8. Simple parallelism. You sow to the flesh, of the flesh you'll reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you'll reap life everlasting. A law of genetics established in creation. The Lord said it will bring forth fruit after His kind. The fowls will produce after their kind, etc. So we will reap in same kind as we sow. The farmer knows that. He knows if he sows corn seed, he expects corn to come out of the ground. He'll reap in the same kind as he sows. We applied it yesterday to salvation. We talked about Nicodemus. Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm sorry, you're a pretty moral-looking gentleman, and you know a lot about the law, and you appear to be religious, and you may know the truth, but I'm sorry, you're still born of the flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll produce nothing but more flesh. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be supernaturally born from above. Did God speak to you about your soul yesterday? If He did, I trust you got it settled. Don't put it off. If God speaks to you and you realize that you're not 100% sure that Christ is in your heart, don't hesitate. Don't put it off. If you do, you begin a process called hardening of your heart. And the Bible talks about that in the book of Proverbs. You can come to a point where God will stop speaking to you. You'll go your merry way, have no care at all the rest of your life about a Savior and die and be in hell. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, respond. Now let's press on this morning. I want to apply this principle to believers. That is, we reap in same kind as we sow. This is a sobering principle. Don't take the time to turn, but let me read to you 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. This is the story of David and his sin. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2, the Bible says, it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I wrote in the margin of my Bible the word sowing, because that's what David was doing. David was sowing. Was he sowing good seed? No. He was sowing bad seed. If you'd come to King David 5 minutes after he sowed that bad seed in his mind, and you would have said, David, you are about to break 5 of the 10 commandments. He probably would have laughed at you. Hey, what are you talking about? I'm a sweet singer of Israel. I'm a man that loves God supremely. My heart sinks after God. I would never do that. But the fact is, not long after he sowed bad seed, he broke 5 of the 10 commandments. He coveted another man's wife. He stole another man's wife. He committed adultery. He was involved in murder as he put her husband on the front line and he died. And he was involved in lying and deceit. Then he saw every one of those sins reaped within the lives of his own family. Now, note something here that I think is important. David got right with God when Nathan the prophet nailed him. I mean, David did not hesitate. He didn't make excuses. He didn't blame somebody else. Read Psalm 51, Psalm 32. He was sorry for his sin. He asked God to forgive him. Did God forgive him? Absolutely. God immediately will forgive when we sin. That's the grace of God. But that's no guarantee the harvest will be stopped. Confession and restoration is no guarantee that the harvest is ended. David got right. God forgave him immediately, but still he lost his kingdom. He lost his children. He had sown. He reaped. There were apparently no exceptions in that case. Now, it's okay when we sin to go to the Lord, of course, immediately and confess our sin and ask forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 promises that He will forgive. That's His grace. That's His goodness. And it is all right even to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I sin. Lord, forgive me. And Father, if it's Your will You please withhold the rod this time? It's okay to do that. That's the cry of a child. We can ask, but God will answer according to His plan and His sovereign will. He may say, yeah, not only will I forgive you, but I'll have mercy on you. But He may say, not only will I forgive you, but you now will reap the harvest because the reaping will help you. Now, the bad news here is that if you happen to be a parent, our children may reap our bad attitudes even unconsciously. I heard about a pastor. He went into the home of a family for 2 days he spent with them. And for 6 meals that they had together, he tried to turn the conversation toward God, and he could not succeed. Those children grew up. Not one of them cares about the Lord or about the church. The seed was sown, but it was wrong, bad seed. We reap in same kind as we sow. Now, think about this. This is absolutely a very sobering principle. Does it make common sense to you that if we reap in same kind as we sow, if I lie to somebody, someday somebody's going to lie to me? Sure. If we commit sins against our body, and of course the devil can't get our soul if we're saved, so he sure wants our body. If we commit sins against our body, we may reap in same kind as we sow. That's a sobering thought. If you're bitter towards someone, my friend, the time will come, there'll be a relationship in your family close to you, and bitterness will enter in. We reap in same kind as we sow. Proverbs says if we're stingy in giving, then God will withhold blessings from us. We reap in same kind as we sow. If we're mean to others, probably others in some way will be mean to us. You spend your time running other people down, gossiping about them, somebody's probably going to run you down and gossip about you. You spend your time listening to fleshly, sensual music, even though it may be called Christian music, you will one day reap sensuality in some area of your life. It will happen. The little church that I have the privilege of pastoring is located in the suburb of Nashville. It's called Franklin. Franklin is the home. It is the womb of contemporary Christian music. I'm out knocking on doors. I remember I knocked on door one day, and a guy with long, stringy hair came to the door. He'd been kind of screaming at his children, and I talked to him, and I talked to him a little bit about the Lord, and he told me who he was. He said, oh, I'm a Christian. I play Christian music. He was the lead guitarist for a group called White Heart. That was some years ago. I mean, they live in my community. The largest CCM church probably in the world is located in Franklin, and I call it the largest because it's the heart. If you want to get into contemporary Christian music, you go to that church and you try to sing special music and maybe you'll be discovered. And you get contacts, and many of the CCM folks are there in that church. when we first moved to Franklin back in 1995. We had just left the road in full-time evangelism. We had a big trailer and a truck that pulled it, and I wanted to sell the equipment. I advertised them in the newspaper, and a fellow came to look at my truck. His name was John Morgan. I began to talk to him out there in my driveway, and I found out that John was one of the writers for a contemporary Christian musician named Steve Green. I began to talk to John about the Lord. John gave me what I thought was a pretty good testimony, a clear testimony of how he'd received Christ as Savior. Frankly, I was somewhat impressed with his attitude. He said, "Well, Dave, Steve and I have recently really got some things right with the Lord. We're just so tired of the hypocrisy in the CCM industry, and we just want to minister and be a blessing." As we continued to talk, I found out that he was the one that wrote the song, "Let's Break Down the Walls." And that's a song which I don't know the words. I've never listened to the entire song. I heard an excerpt one time. They actually played it here in chapel. I believe Dr. Bob Third played it some years ago to illustrate some of this bad music. And I heard the tape while I was driving one day listening to a chapel message on the road in evangelism. And I remember my girls in the back seat, boy, they didn't like it. They won't turn that thing off. We're listening to chapel at Bob Jones. Don't make us turn it off. But they heard that bad song that he was using in illustration. I looked at John and I said, "John, now I didn't talk to him about principles of music. I didn't talk to him about melody and harmony and bad rhythm and the anapestic backbeat and the sensual production of that rhythm, no matter what the words are. I didn't say that. I just said, 'John, why did you use such a strong rock beat in the background of that song?'" And he said, "Well, that's the message I wanted to convey. I wanted to convey I can't remember exactly the words he used, but they were words of tension. Because of the tension that's created in that we're not all together in Christendom." Now, he didn't understand anything about separation. His background affected the music that he was writing. And I said, "John, let me ask you a question. Will you listen to a tape that I have? I have a message that I preached on the road in full-time evangelism. It's entitled, 'Whose Music?' And the Lord seems to have used it a bunch of times as I try to explain principles of music and to the non-musician like I am. Will you listen to that tape?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll listen to the tape if you will take Steve Green's latest CD." And I said, "Free? Wow, that thing usually costs $18-19. I'll become a Mormon for that, you know? No problem. So I'll take the CD," and I'm basically a frugal, cheap guy. And I said, "Sure, I will take it." Well, I gave him my tape, "Whose Music?" And I never heard from him again. Never got the free CD. And, of course, I wasn't looking forward to listening to it anyway. Because even though Steve certainly seems to have a fine demeanor and a fine background, his music is accompanied with a rock beat, many of the cuts. And it's not music I can listen to as a child of God. It will affect me negatively. Because, you see, you reap the same kind as you sow. And John Morgan never came back to me. I didn't have an opportunity to speak to him further. He probably listened to some of my tape and just thought I was crazy. His background was so different. He was born and bred in bad music, and when he got saved, he continued in it. What's the point? We can argue all we want to. We can fight one another. We can write books and make tapes, and we can take our personal stand, and we can give all kinds of arguments about what our music is and whether it's good or bad. But the fact is, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. That's what God says right here. And if you listen to music, you get involved in entertainments, you spend time with friends, even so-called Christian friends that are basically sensual, then you will eventually have sensuality in areas of your life. We reap in same kind as we sow. What are you sowing this morning? You'll reap in same kind. Absolute principle of God. Look at verse 8, please. Verse 8 again. "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Now, not totally, I'm not going to give you the total interpretation of this, but in part, here's what this means. In order to die and go to hell, in other words, reap corruption, decay, and burn in hell, all you have to do is sow to the flesh. How does the lost man assure himself a place in hell? What does he do? Does he have to become an atheist? No. Does he have to write horrible books against God? No. All he has to do is ignore Christ. That's pretty simple. Just live your life like you want to and ignore trusting Jesus as Savior and be unwilling to turn from sin and trust. And you know what you will reap? You'll reap everlasting fire. You'll reap eternity in hell. By the same token, look at the rest of the verse. "He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." In part, you know what that means? If a man wants to have everlasting life, what does he have to do? All he has to do is admit that he's lost and by simple faith turn from sin and trust the Savior. He can do it in a few moments. I can think of some folks in our meetings who have come to me after the service and said they got saved. And I said, when did you get saved? And said, well, I got saved walking down the aisle. God spoke to their heart. They heard the truth. They prayed the prayer from their heart. And that momentary prayer from their heart gave them what? Everlasting life. Forever in heaven with the Lord. Here's the principle. We reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. Now, they tell me the farmer banks on this. He sows seed into the ground, and he knows that some of it will fall on stony ground, some of it thorny ground, some of it will be eaten up by the birds. But he knows that the good seed in good soil will bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. This principle is true for all. It is true for the lost man. It is true for the saved man. If we sow to the wrong, we'll reap more than we sow. If we sow to the right, by God's grace, we'll reap more than we sow. Let's look at it negatively, first of all. Proverbs 22:8 says this, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity or calamity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says this, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. They tell me that that's in the Hebrew intensive form, which means you could translate it like this. They have sown the wind or a cool breeze, and they will reap a powerful hurricane or tornado. God says we reap more than we sow. Think about the life of David we just mentioned. The whole book of 2 Samuel, especially the first half of the book, all that David does is blessed of God. Then we get to chapter 11, verse 2. Bad seed he sowed in his heart. He sinned with Bathsheba. He tried to cover his sin by way of having Uriah put on the front line and having him killed. But Proverbs 28:13 tells us, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. David seemed to have covered his sin, didn't he? But no. Don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. God sent Nathan the prophet. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, don't take the time to look, but Nathan gave a threefold charge to David. He said, David, 2 Samuel 12:9, you killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, one man. The sword will never depart from your own family. And it's a fact. After that time, his house never had peace. There was sin, jealousy, murder, revolt. Then Nathan said, David, you took Uriah's wife in verse 9, 2 Samuel 12. Your wives, plural, will be taken from you. He reaped more than he had sowed. Then he said in verse 11 and 12, you did this, David, secretly, but your wives will be defiled before all of Israel. David, you reap more than you sow. David confessed. He was miserable in his sin. He was glad to repent, but still he reaped so much more than he sowed in that night of sin with Bathsheba. In fact, in chapter 12, verse 6 there in 2 Samuel, Nathan said, you're going to restore fourfold. And David did. Four of David's sons died premature deaths. Shimei, Amnon, Absalom, Adonijah. This is the law of the harvest. We reap more than we sow. Now, what's the warning? What's one of the devil's most powerful tools against us? What's one of his methods that he uses that Paul said, be careful of his wiles, his methodeia? What's one of his methods? I'll tell you what it is. Here it is. A little bit of sin won't hurt you. That's what the devil says. Just a little bit of sin won't hurt you. You know, just a little bit of liquor. You know, you'll be all right. Just a little bit of experimentation with drugs. You'll be okay. You're pretty strong. Just a little bit of sexual experimentation. You know, see what it's like. You'll be okay. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. God says, don't be deceived. I won't be mocked. I'm a holy God. You're going to reap more than you sow. Just a little bit of rebellion, the devil may say. Just a little bit of bad music, the devil may say, you'll be okay. Just a little bit of bitterness, you'll be okay. Just a little bit of gossip. No, we reap more than we sow. On the positive side, this is a blessing. The blessing is this. Do you ever feel inadequate in your Christian life? I do. A lot of the time. I'm sure a lot of that is a sinful attitude because we shouldn't feel inadequate if we really know God and walk with God. He says, I'll give you the strength to do anything I call you to. Faithful is he that calleth you will do it. But by the same token, so many times I feel inadequate. Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I know you've called me to. I know you told me to, but I don't know if I can do it. The blessing is you just do what is right, walk with God in the darkness, be real, be sincere before God, and do the best you can in the will of God. You know what God will do? He will multiply your efforts. You will reap more than you sow to the good, to the blessing. Just keep on praying best you know how. God will multiply and bless those prayers. Just keep on having the fellowship that you can. Maybe you're a little shy and fellowship scares you to death. Well, just do the best you can and wade right in there and get to know some new friends here at school. And God will bless those relationships because God says, don't be deceived. I won't be mocked. I want to bless you. I'm a holy God. I want you to have blessings so you will reap more than you sow. Stay in the Word. Memorize a few verses, and you'll find God will use them. Give out some tracts, and trust God to work. You'll reap more than you sow. Are you homesick today? Probably somebody is. I know how you feel. I've been there. Well, just hang in there and do the best you can one day at a time, maybe sometimes 1 hour at a time. Make a friend. God gives you a friend. That'll be a blessing. Maybe He won't give you a friend. Maybe you'll have to go to the best friend, the Lord Jesus, and get to know Him better than you've ever known Him. And you take it one day at a time, maybe 1 hour at a time, and say, God has called me. I know God's in control. Your efforts will be multiplied to the good, for we reap more than we sow. Look at verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, God's time, we shall reap if we faint not. Here's principle number 4. We reap in a different season than we sow. The farmer knows that. He spends 7 days, he plows the ground, he plants the seed, and at the end of 7 days, he looks at the field and it's beautiful, it's all planted, and he gets up on the 8th day and he says, boy, I bet I'm going to have a great crop today. No, he's got more sense than that. He knows it takes some time. Some good weather, some bad weather, some hot weather, some cool weather, some humidity, some rain, some sun. And in God's time, you see, He knows He will reap in a different season than He sows. Same thing with us spiritually. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters. Thou shalt find it after many days. The book of Titus generally says, be careful to maintain good works and help one another. So do kind deeds and you will reap in God's time. Be patient with somebody today, and someday when you need somebody to be patient with you, you will reap in a different season than you sow. Sow all the good you can, all the kindness you can. Do it because you love God and love others, expecting nothing in return. And one day you will reap. You don't have to get discouraged when you try to win somebody to Christ and they reject the Lord. If your heart is right, your motives are right, just do what's right, sow the seed. You'll reap in God's time. You'll reap in a different season than you sow. Now, don't be discouraged. If you do something kind for somebody today and somebody does something mean to you tomorrow, for you see, the Bible says we will reap when, verse 9, in due season, God's time. God knows the best time for us to reap what we have sown. Be compassionate with your roommate. Maybe he is a green, somewhat dumb freshman. And maybe he is stumbling around, making your life miserable because you're an established junior. Maybe he does seem to be mean and arrogant. Maybe underneath that arrogance is a broken heart that you know nothing about. Maybe he's come with burdens that you're just not aware of. So sow good seed in the lives of one another. And in God's time, we'll reap in a different season than we sow. Now, there's a warning here. The warning is this. Sometimes God waits years before He punishes sin, before He disciplines wrongs. Israel was supposed to keep the sabbatical year, not work the land for 1 year after every 7 years. They didn't do it. They were greedy. For 490 years, they did not observe it. You would think God's going to bring down judgment. But God didn't immediately. God waited 500 years before He took them into captivity into Babylon, took them off the land. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. What's that mean? We sin, and God doesn't immediately chasten us, and we think we've gotten away with it. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We will reap in a different season than we sow. I guarantee you, that in the pastoral setting there have been couples that I have started a counseling process with and difficulties in their marriage. And if they really, really get honest, we discover that the root of their problem goes back to some bad habits they established in the dating years when they were in college. You sow to the wrong today, and you may find that you'll reap it 20 years down the road. You say, Brother Barba, 20 years is a long time. Oh, really? Not to God. God waited 500 years in the illustration I just mentioned. 500 years to God is a moment. And there may be those that reap what they have sown years and years and years down the road. What's the challenge? Just don't sow any bad seed. It's pretty simple. Live your life sowing only that which is good and prepare for God's blessing. The last principle is this. You reap the good if you persevere. The evil comes to harvest on its own. Verse 9. In due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we persevere. The farmer does not have to go down to the seed store and buy any weed seeds and say, I want to have weeds like Brother Farmer across the street. I'm going to plant weeds. No, the weeds are just there. I mean, you didn't have to stay up all night trying to decide what evil things you might do today. The devil's already up all night planning to attack your flesh. But I tell you what we do have to do to enjoy the good seed we've sown, we must hang in there. We must persevere. We must faint not. You see, when we get a hold of this, you know what will happen? It'll change our attitude toward trials. When trials come, tribulation enters our life, we face opposition, we want to give up and quit and throw in the towel, we say, wait a minute, this might be the devil working here. I mean, after all, I know that generally I'm trying to do right. I'm not perfect, I do sin, and I know God forgives, but generally my heart's right, and I've sown good seed and sown good seed and sown good seed, and the devil's trying to take me out. I'm just going to trust God in this trial, and you may find on the other end of that trial, the other end of that opposition, you find the full harvest, and you enjoy the full blessing of God. I remember in 1968, I entered VJ as a freshman in September. Cinema major. Had a wonderful time learning some things that really thrilled me and still do. But at the end of the first semester, we went home for Christmas. And of course, the first Christmas you go home is a time and all of a sudden you look around, there are no bells, no pressures. Boy, it's wonderful. I miss home so much. It's great to be here. I came back, started the second semester, and for the first time, I began to believe that the Lord was leading me to change where I was studying. And I wrote a letter to my dad, and I said, Dad, I think maybe I'd like to go to the University of Rochester up there in New York. They have a photography program, and I'd like to study there. And I remember my dad wrote me a letter. I still have it. He said, God put you right there. You stay right there and persevere. I'm thankful that I did because the harvest was coming. If I had dropped out after sowing that seed in the beginning, I would have missed the harvest of getting saved, of finding my life's mate here at Bob Jones University, and seeing my children go on. One of them's already graduated. One of them's a student today. And the other one is headed this direction in a few years. I would have missed the blessing of the harvest. You reap the good if you persevere. The evil comes to pass on its own. Maybe you're thinking, I know what's wrong with my life. I've just been sowing bad seed and I can't do anything about it. I know what happened to my kids. It's all my fault. I'll just never be able to fly this. Let me tell you something wonderful and then we're going to pray and be done. You cannot change today's harvest. You can't do it. What you're facing in your life today, what is harvesting in your life, is a result of seeds you've sown before today. You cannot change today's harvest. Ask God to give you grace to learn from today's harvest. But you know what you can do? You can start working on tomorrow's. Every one of us can begin to prepare for what we want to harvest and see in our lives for the glory of God in the days ahead. What kind of seed are you sowing? Are you sowing bad seed? Ask for God's forgiveness. Do you need right now to begin sowing good seed? Do it. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that by your grace, you will help us to examine our hearts, see if there be bad seed, confess that bad seed, turn from it, repent, get your blessing. Lord, help us to labor at sowing good godly seed that we might reap the harvest and you might be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Dave Barba, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Franklin, Tennessee. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.